get in and press buttons and learn along with the kids.
Welcome to the SPS Digital Learning Hour, brought to you by the Digital Learning and Assessment Department. We're coming to you today from Central Office, bringing you the latest news in Springfield Public Schools in regards to technology, along with inspiring interviews from teachers who are using technology in the classroom. Thanks for joining us today. I am your host, Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy. You can find me out on all the socials at Bearded Tech Ed. You can also find me on my personal website, beardedtechedguy.com. And also the We Learn My SPS blog. So we thank you for joining us today. I am super excited and pumped about this episode. One thing you will note, it is a tad bit longer than normal. And by tad, I mean a half hour, because we just had so many good interviews with students, teachers, and parents on using Minecraft in the classroom. So we're going to get into it pretty quickly. Just a couple of quick updates for Springfield teachers. One is you should have gotten an email on Monday about vaccination clinics being held at Boland Elementary for Springfield employees and residents. Please check it out if you have not had the opportunity to start your vaccination process. The district is helping organize, as it'll be held at Boland on a couple of different dates. Make sure you check your email to sign up. Like I did say, we have some blog posts, and one of them is all about concurrent learning, which is what we started this week and over the next few weeks. So my thoughts on it, like I said, these are my thoughts from observing the training and just what I know about using technology in the classroom. So you can go and check them out. It's on both websites. And so with that, we're going to jump into this week's episode. Like I said, I am super pumped because one, I don't know much about Minecraft and how to apply it in the classroom. I've been to a bunch of trainings. I have seen it in action, and I am super excited to share what this whole project from Liberty Elementary has done. And I think you will be impressed too, as we hear from teachers that range on a number of grade levels, along with students from a variety of grade levels, including a couple of parents that we had the opportunity to ask some questions to also. So with that in mind, we're just going to jump right on in. So the first part of this is with Melissa Zeitz, who is the technology coordinator among many other roles over at Liberty Elementary. And she's going to explain the process of which they use to use Minecraft in the classroom. So take it away, Melissa.
Hi, I'm Melissa Zeitz. I'm a digital literacy and computer science teacher at Liberty Elementary School. I'm also the technology and curriculum resource coordinator for the CS for All grants in Springfield that's working on designing the computer science curriculum for elementary schools. And I have been teaching for 20 years now, which I can't believe now that I'm doing the math, but it's been 20 years.
We've talked a bunch in the past, whether it was for podcasts or just because of being colleagues. So one of the things that I'm really interested in is, how did you end up introducing Minecraft into the building that you work in?
So I've been to a lot of PDs on Minecraft for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, and I never quite grasped it, but I thought it was something interesting, but still never did much with it. And then I started seeing more and more workshops run by Microsoft Innovator Educators. And I was like, okay, I'm starting to see some value. And I was thinking, how do I bring this back to the school and not only expose the teachers to it, but also see for myself what it, the value of Minecraft. And I know during COVID, one thing that we keep talking a lot about is, how do we have students collaborate? How do we create something they can kind of work together when you're virtual? Which has been a challenge, as everyone knows. I had this idea of bringing Minecraft into the school to expose teachers and students and myself about what's the possibility, what can we do with Minecraft? And I did this through PBIS. So we had a school-wide PBIS event, and it was sponsored by Microsoft. So I had what we call Microsoft Dan. He came into every single classroom individually and taught them how to craft. Prior to this, we got it in everyone's computer, so everyone was ready to go, and the kids loved it. But what was really great to see is how teachers saw the value in it. So after this Minecraft PBIS event where every classroom was exposed, I reached out to teachers and I said, so how many of you are interested in a Minecraft cohort? I was like, I had maybe 7 to 10 people that were interested. I said, all right, Minecraft Dan is willing to run some PDs for us. Let's get them going. And it started once a week on a Friday for an hour. And then slowly the cohort split into two. We had an advanced group, about 3 or 4 teachers who were diving into Minecraft, like incredibly. They were building zoos and mansions, and they built Liberty Elementary School in it. They built McDonald's and a bank. I mean, they were going all out. And then they were bringing it into their classroom and starting to use it in their classroom to help with students doing reading activities or math activities. And then there was the beginner group for those who, like me, just needed to be slowed down just a little bit more, right? And then I started getting the hang of it. And then through word of mouth, more teachers were hearing about what was going on in this first grade classroom, in this EL room, that they got interested. And so they started coming to the beginner ones. And now we have like an advanced group, an intermediate group, and a beginner group. And we still meet once a week. For a while, it was twice a week, depending on which group. Now we've merged it into back to once a week again. And from there now in our school, I was like, okay, everybody's doing Minecraft. What can we do at a larger scale for the whole building? So we created a Minecraft Liberty School Challenge. Since the students haven't been in school for a year, we tasked them with what would school look like if you could build the school? You could work alone or you could work collaboratively with someone. And sure enough, it took off and we had tons of different schools being built. And it's been really fun to see what they've created. And now where the challenge is closed, we're looking at what they've done and figuring out who the winners are. But what I like about this overall is that it's trickling into other classrooms to help them collaboratively work together to build a village in Puerto Rico or to understand other, you know, reading or math lessons. So it's taken on a life of its own in our building, and it all started from a PBIS event to just expose people to it and let people who were interested get into it. And then through that, it just spread.
Was it a hard buy-in, like at that PBS time, or was it more of, because I remember some PBIS events where like as a teacher, you would go and just supervise that the students were doing the event. And then there was other events where the teacher had to be more involved into it. Did you have a lot of teachers who were more like sideline observers during the PBIS event, or were they also interacting and involved with what the students were doing?
I want to say it was a combination of both. So for every one of those PBIS events, I was there. So any technical issues, I was able to work on and get the students where they needed to be, which allowed the teacher to try to enter the world or just hear the discussion that they were having. So it'd be like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'm over here. Come join me on this side. No, I'm over here. I'm building this. Come join me. And like, so then they were, might've been not in Minecraft building, but they were listening to the discussions that the kids were having. They all got something out of it.
That's awesome. With all that exposure, I know that. And I'm sure you've seen this too with your role in the school, that anytime new technology or new programs is introduced, you have like a group that is super excited about it, wanting to try it. Another group that's like, oh, another thing we have to do. So how did you kind of manage all of those expectations that teachers had for Minecraft? Because I know from trying to play Minecraft, like if you don't know what you're doing, there's a learning curve with it. So
when it came to the PBIS event, I think because I was there, there was no stress to it. They were fine with giving the hour for the event because that's what we do every month. We have an event. It's about an hour long. We make sure that they don't have to do anything for the event, that everything is done for them. Mm-hmm. So we kind of created that environment where it wasn't stressful. Now, when it comes to the integration of Minecraft into the classrooms, the approach was more of, let's get those that right away are interested And then let's use those that are interested to help spread to others. But then also the drop-in sessions were literally beginner steps in a comfortable way. We're going to throw you on. We're going to teach you how to walk. And everyone, even those who don't know how to turn on a computer, and all of our teachers know how to turn them on, but you know what I'm talking about, are still trying it out. And they go, and they're so excited when a teacher puts a brick down, right? So they get the same excitement that the kids get when they're learning how to build in Minecraft. So I think we just made an environment that they feel comfortable to try it in. And we still have those teachers who aren't going to use it. And that's okay too. Not every tool, you know, is for every teacher. But at least there's a new tool out there that creates that collaboration environment and that they can feel comfortable learning. We also created a lot of newsletters that just had ways to integrate Minecraft in the classroom. So I found an entire document of third grade standards for math. And when you click on it, it takes you to an entire lesson that you can do in Minecraft to teach that concept. So starting to also just drop hints of ways they can do it. And hopefully, you know, in a year, this year was the trial year, and hopefully we can continue thinking about how to use Minecraft, you know, more efficiently. And I think the way our building has always operated, a couple people do one thing, like Nearpod, right? And as people get more comfortable with Nearpod, two more teachers join on, and then all of a sudden you have 70% of a building using Nearpod. And I think that's just the best way to approach it, small and steady, and then see the success of it.
Awesome. So more teachers, as we'll hear later on in the podcast, of their experiences with using Minecraft, all lead up to what it sounds like was kind of a big school-wide deal, which was the design a school. So with the design a school, what kind of parameters did you give the students? Like, were there certain things they had to include?
So I'll tell you that this idea was inspired by an idea that was done in New York City for the district. And I actually had reached out specifically to the person who put together the one in New York City and asked them if I could, for the most part, copy what they did, but change the context a little bit, because they had had a very successful competition there. So basically what it was is to design a new school for your community in Minecraft. Keep in mind the local culture and ecosystem, as well as the needs of the different types of people that will be learning there. This challenge is open to all Liberty Elementary students, and you must use Minecraft Education Edition to create your school. So that was really the whole parameters. You could work on your own, you could work with a partner. Some of them had a teacher helping them. That was fine too. We really just wanted them to have fun and be creative.
Knowing that this went on for about a month, if I understand correctly, what were some of the things that you've seen so far with what the students have done? Like, was there anything that like made you very excited to see with the schools?
So to explain how I saw the schools first, they actually had to use Flipgrid. Flipgrid has a really amazing feature to share screen. So what they did is they shared their screen, and then they were able to walk through their school and tell us all about it. One of the kids had a kindergarten napping room, and he was telling us how kindergarten needs to have nap time. And I think it might have even been the same student had a chimney for Santa Claus to come down. There was one where they built the school in the sky pretty much, and you took a roller coaster up to the slide. We had one that when you went into the cafeteria and you clicked on buttons, it would give you food. Click on the NPCs, it would give you food. I mean, it was just cool to see, you know, and that one actually also had like a roller coaster ride. They had swing sets, and one of them had its own dining room, like this beautiful like glass dining room that you were going to, you know, have the school cafeteria in kind of thing. They had principal rooms and basketball courts. And I think one of them was like you jumped into the water. I mean, it's just amazing to see their creativity. Many of them were not, I don't think any of them looked like Liberty. It, you know, it would be like two floors, and one of them had a beautiful library. And when you went up the stairs, there were like cobwebs in the library on the like top attic area. I'm like, wow, that's so creative, right? So I just think their imagination just ran wild as they were building these schools. You could definitely see in the upper grades that they use the robot in Minecraft. So what's really cool is, and As you know, I'm passionate in computer science and part of the CS for All grant, like my other hat I wear. And I'm watching them use the robot and programming it to build different things in their school or to have the redstone light things up. And so you're seeing the computer science concepts happening in their Minecraft world, and they're using all those computational thinking strategies. So it's not just I'm building, but like they have to use so many different aspects to build whatever they were building, which very much aligns with all of the work that we're doing for CS for All.
That's awesome. That's a lot. Sounds like a lot of really great creative things. I would love to have had a roller coaster in my school. It would have been a lot more fun to get around.
Thank you, Melissa, for all that great information on how Minecraft is being used at your school and how you kind of helped usher it along. The next thing we're going to listen to is from a number of teachers over at Liberty that have various grade levels that they work with and using Minecraft in the classroom in the ways that Melissa discussed and in some other ways, which you'll find very interesting also.
Hi, my name is Katie Peterson. I've been teaching for 12 years. I'm an ESOL teacher at Liberty Elementary School. I teach students in grades kindergarten through fifth grade.
So being an ESOL teacher, teaching many grades, how have you come to use Minecraft in the classroom? Because in my mind, at least, I see what a fifth grader can do versus what a kindergartner can do. And how does that all work?
So I actually am really impressed by how my kindergartners are able to do Minecraft. My kindergartners actually can do Minecraft better than my fifth graders. And what I do is I tie Minecraft into what we're learning, and I do it on Fridays. So we call it Fun Fridays. My kindergartners, I'm working on letters and sounds with them. So I have them build the letters of the alphabet, and they need to then build words using the specific letters. They're always asking me, can we do ABCDs on Minecraft? They're so excited to do it. Then my first graders are doing sight words and their guided reading. So we focus on building the sight words and even building representations of what the sight words mean to them. If it's something like mother, they might somehow design a mother or something that reminds them of their mother. The same thing with my second graders and my third graders and my fourth graders too. They're all working on sight words and on reading comprehension with me. For my fifth graders, I have students who are just starting to learn English. So we are using some wonderful units that have been developed by the ESOL department for Springfield. And one unit might be on community or on working together. So I have them practice that. I have them work together to build a community, help each other in building. Maybe it's a small city, or even if it's just three houses, it gives them a chance to really figure out how to apply what we're learning to what fun they're able to have in Minecraft.
So if I were to ask you back in 2019, so this was like pre-pandemic, right. I know Liberty is very progressive when it comes to using technology in the school, and you've got a lot of great resources at the school. If you were going to be told that, hey, one of the more successful things you're going to do in the classroom is use Minecraft to teach words and phrases and all of that, what would 2019 of you have said?
I would have said, no way. Back then, I was terrified of technology. Since then, I've become part of the CS for All grant for the district. And thanks to my work with that grant and my work with our unbelievably amazing technology teacher at our school, Melissa Zeitz, I have overcome that fear and am thrilled with what I've learned and been able to do with my students using technology.
Awesome. So with Minecraft, I imagine a lot of it has been learned remotely for you. Like when you were starting to get into Minecraft, what were some of the things that you really liked about it?
I like that it's so open with what you can do with it. They do provide lessons that you can adapt, but it's really, you can use it however you see fit, however you think it's going to benefit your students. And it's really amazing how engaged the students get with the world. They are coming up with such creative ideas constantly that it's hard for me to believe. I'm not as creative as my students are. I know that.
Did you find that you picked it up as fast as your students, or they were picking it up a lot faster than you?
Oh, they're picking it up a lot faster than I am, definitely. But I do participate in a weekly professional development with somebody from Microsoft. And he comes in, he was doing an advanced session and a beginner session for teachers at Liberty. So I was able to attend both sessions and I learned a lot that way.
Yeah, I know one of my hangups when I was teaching was whenever something new was presented, if I didn't know how to do it, I wouldn't use it. And so I imagine that even during this remote time, like I would probably even like feel that way like twice as much.
I'm actually trying to conquer that feeling because I have learned that the students are so much more adept and skilled with using the technology than I am, that it's okay to push my boundaries so that I'm going outside of my own comfort limit in order to meet the needs of my students and bring their learning to life for them.
I'm Karen Potter. I teach first grade at Liberty.
So Karen, last time we talked a lot about all the things that you were doing in the classroom already. And I feel like this topic that we're about to talk about is one that you were just beginning to broach with your students and even your own learning, which is Minecraft. So can you tell us about, from your point of view, how Minecraft in the classroom evolved at your school?
Melissa Zeitz set up a teacher voluntary workshop with Dan from Microsoft. And let me back up. I forget. We had one day where he came in with the first graders. Mm-hmm. And the kids were all laughing at me. I couldn't place a block. I didn't know how to walk around. But it really intrigued me just to be able to go and explore in the process of figuring it out. Then he did the teacher workshop. And he kind of talked about how, you know, there's different ideas. And I think it sounds like it's just starting to evolve in the education. Different ideas on how to use it in education. And so my para and I kind of dove in head first and we joined together and we built, you know, little things. We'd watch videos and build it. And in the back of my mind, as I was learning it, I was trying to think, how can I use this in the classroom? And the first thing that popped in my mind was getting the writable books. And now it's first grade. So we started with an ABC book. That was going to be my first lesson. Well, mm-hmm. Obviously, we had to kind of back up and get kids in and teach them how to log on, teach them how to walk. And a lot of the kids knew how to go in and beat up zombies. They weren't aware that they could build a house, you know. So the first couple times we went in, of course, we had a lot of technological issues. But the first couple times we went in, it was just explore, have fun. Then we went in and we did a tens and ones lesson. I downloaded I'd call it like an arena where each child has an area where they can build. And then there's a button where they press and it'll clean up their blocks. So I would put up a number like 14 and they'd have to try to build, you know, one group of tens and four ones. And I had so many kids being like, this is really cool, or I get it now. You know, I mean, one kid was really quick. I said, okay, well, instead of waiting for us, why don't you just build something? In 5 minutes, he had a house built. So then once we kind of got all that down, we did do the writable books. And I told them, I want you to make an ABC book. When you find something in the world that you like or just pops in your head, think about what sound it starts with. And they had to take a picture of it, put it in their journal, and then write A is for an apple, you know, whatever they found. So that lesson, I mean, it's amazing how not only are the kids problem solving, but we were problem solving, you know, Miss Potter, I broke your window, and Miss, I can't find my journal. And it blows my mind. You can, even through the computer, watch the kids process. And right now we're making an interactive 10 frame arena where the kids can only put down numbers in a certain spot or cubes in a certain spot on a 10 frame. We're going to go in and do a whole word problem class where I'm going to give them a word problem. They have to build it, take away or add more, and figure out the answers.
That's awesome.
It's cool to see the different levels of the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I have one little boy over February vacation. We met up online and he wanted to know how to do the NPCs, you know, so he wants to get more into the program end. I love that, you know, like we'll go into Minecraft and do an assignment and you don't hear, oh, I got to do an assignment. You know, it's masked by the fun of playing Minecraft, you know?
Yeah. One of the students that we talked to, Gabriel, he was actually talking about that TENS lessons that he really enjoyed it too. When it comes to using Minecraft, and it sounds like, cause you had a student over February break who, like, you guys talked and about doing NPCs. As a teacher who hasn't really used Minecraft before in the classroom, like myself, like that, like how much anxiety did you have? And did a lot of the stuff you did with Microsoft Dan, like really kind of help in that area to like lessen it? Because I know for me, anytime I was to introduce something new to my classroom, I knew how to do it.
Right.
And so to me, like, I feel like Minecraft is like way above my head at the moment. So,
I think what helped me was that first time when we went in and, like I said, I couldn't place a block. The kids kind of took it upon themselves to say, Miss Potter, you got to right click and you got to, and you could hear in their voice, like they were so excited to help me. And right away, like, it went out the window and I just said, I don't know. And I'm willing to say, I don't know. Let's figure this out. We also, thanks again to Melissa and Dan, we had a lot of support in the class with the teachers in our school. You know, we had beginners and we had advanced groups where you could go in and without embarrassment or anything, someone would teach you, here's how you move, here's how you place a block. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I kind of really got into it on my own time building and trying to, you know, think ahead, what can I do? What do I need to have ready? And like I said, we just started simple. You know, I had one person show me how to do those, you know, books that they can write in. And then the rest, it was up to the kids to take, you know, where they wanted to go with it. So you could learn, you know, once you can move around and place blocks, you'll figure it out. It's not like there's a huge learning curve. You don't have to get into all the fancy programming and stuff.
Yes, I'm Colleen Coots, and I'm the adjustment counselor at Liberty.
All right, so as adjustment counselor, I'm guessing you work with K to 5, so all the students.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you first heard that there was an opportunity to use Minecraft in the classroom, what were your initial thoughts?
I'm going to be honest with you. I fought it. I'm not always the most technologically inclined. So Melissa and I have been talking about Minecraft. We even started talking like towards the end of last year and through the summer about it. And I kind of pushed back at it. And then this year, with the way everything is going and how I have to present my lessons, I finally was like, all right, let's meet, we'll check it out, see, you know, what it is. And so we did, and it's been great. It's been really good.
Awesome. So it's great to hear going from not wanting to do it to mm-hmm. kind of having to figure out a way to deliver your content.
Right.
And being able to use it. Mm-hmm. So as an adjustment counselor, mm-hmm. how are you using Minecraft in the classroom?
So I go into the classrooms. I do right now, I'm doing grades 3 through 5. I go into the classrooms, then I do social emotional classroom lessons with them every week. And we have a social emotional program that the district has called Second Steps that we do. However, what we're finding right now being remote is that the lessons are not set up for a remote situation. There's a lot of interactive part components to it that we had to take out. And so, you know, we're finding there are 40 minutes lessons and it feels like you're talking at the kids for 40 minutes. And so it was like, I have to have something new and fresh and get the kids' participation in it, because I know I don't want to hear myself talk for 40 minutes. I know they're not going to want to hear me talk for 40 minutes. So I wanted, you know, really creative ways that I could kind of pull their participation in, but still put out the themes and the lessons that I needed to. And so Melissa and I were talking about it and she said, well, go on, you know, Minecraft Ed and look at it and see if it's something, you know, that you want to try. So I'm like, all right, I'll bite the bullet. I'll go on it. But it's been great. They have a lot of really cool lessons and games and things to do that really address a lot of the themes that I do with the kids, like empathy and responsibility and conflict resolutions. You know, and I even said to Melissa, God, I should have done this last year because it was so, you know, so the kids actually have already been involved with Minecraft and Melissa does a lot with them. So it wasn't that I was recreating the wheel with them because they already knew how to do it. So what they did is they ended up teaching me how to do it. But it's just a fun and different way for the kids to learn these lessons. So for instance, we were doing lessons on empathy. That's been a big theme with our lessons this year. And so what we did is we started the lessons with a read aloud about how helping others get through hard times is a part of empathy. And then we actually used the example of the hurricanes in Puerto Rico, which decimated the island. And because a lot of our kids, you know, either came from Puerto Rico or have family there. So it was really something that they were already tied into. We showed some videos and some news broadcasts of the different, of the damage and the things that happened in Puerto Rico. And so what we did is we put them as teams of engineers going to the island to rebuild the island, and they had to build some kind of structure that would help the people on the island get back into their way of life, would give them what they needed, but also would give them what they needed in the future. So if this was to happen again, so they really had to have a lot of thought in what they were building, what materials they were building, how they were doing it, why they're doing it. And they really, really embraced the lessons to the point where teachers were even allowing them some class time to do this, you know. And it was a really great way. They broke out into smaller groups. Some kids did their own individual building, some kids worked together, but just going in and out of the breakout rooms that we had them in while they were doing this and just listening to the conversations between the students was very student driven. And it was, you really got to see their understanding of what you've been talking to them about all year. So it's like, oh, they really do listen. They really are grasping the concepts. And some of them just came up with just some phenomenal things that, you know, they would talk to us and the teachers and I, and we'd be like, oh my God, I never even thought of that. Like, why didn't they build a water filtration system? Or why didn't they build bunkers underground? You know, things like that, that we wouldn't think about, but they, you know, in their discussion and exploring this. So right now we're just kind of wrapping up the lesson and they're finishing up their buildings. And then they're also doing about a minute to a minute and a half Flipgrid videos of what they built, why they decided to build it, and how it's going to help the people. And then what we're going to do is over our morning broadcast, we're going to show some of the videos of what the students did.
I'm Elizabeth Walsh and I teach fifth grade.
So how long have you been teaching fifth grade?
I've been teaching altogether for 38 years, fifth grade about 7 years.
When this whole idea was brought up to me about doing a podcast about Minecraft and what you're doing at Liberty, what were your initial thoughts when it was first presented to you about using Minecraft in the classroom?
Initially, I was just concerned with, this is just another game. Is it, are you taking away from my teaching time? Because especially in math, the curriculum just keeps moving forward. And I was like, oh, yeah, no. But then to just see how much the kids loved it and mm-hmm. how excited they got by it and what they could figure out and what they could do. I mean, it was amazing. They have just flown with this program. They love it.
When you first got into it, because I know Melissa mentioned that as teachers, you all went through some PDs with it too. How did that go and what were your thoughts about it at that point?
Well, my experience is not as good as the children's experience just because the whole game stuff is not a natural thing for me at all. Because as a teacher, I want to speak and tell it what to do and it doesn't listen. To just learn the commands and what to do and what's important and it is so much memory. I'm just in awe of the kids that, you know, I have today. We were discussing obsidian and they were, you know, some, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys, what they know and what they try to show me. And they're so patient with me it's just amazing. And, you know, how to go, no, do this and do that. And, you know, can I take control of your screen? And I'm like, yes. Make it happen, kids.
So that probably actually helps develop a real good connection with your students, because I remember anytime I didn't know how to do something in the classroom and a student would say, oh, I know how to do that. I know they would light up and they would take pride in what they were showing me. So I imagine some of that is happening with Minecraft with you.
Oh yeah, they absolutely love it. And even just, you know, regular everyday math, if I make a mistake, and somebody catches it, I love to praise them and thank you very much. Always, you know, teach them to be polite because you're going to see people make mistakes and it's okay to say, you know, hey, you know, 2 times 2 is 4. But they just, it's like the Minecraft, because they know I'm not really skilled at it. They are just such patient little teachers too, you know. No, do this, try that. And it's a nice kind of rapport that we have built up. And then to also, they come in the mornings and, you know, can I show you what I did last night? And okay, how long is it gonna, because some of them have really complex worlds that I don't get. But they do, they love to share and then work with each other. And it's been a real nice, even just a community building thing between the kids, myself, the kids and each other, very positive.
So I want to thank all the teachers who are willing to be interviewed for this process. I know that I had to take up some of your day to do it, but I am super excited to share. And it sounds like from everything we talked about, you also have done a lot of great things with Minecraft in the classroom. Now, those are only snippets of the interviews. If you'd like to hear the full interviews, you can tune in to the next number of podcasts. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to release a couple of the interviews together at a time, so you can hear the full interview that we had with all of the teachers. So thank you, Katie, Karen, Colleen, and Elizabeth. So now we're going to jump into our conversation with students. Thank you, Gabriel, Ava, and Janelle, and your corresponding parents who joined us for this conversation.
My name is Gabriel. I am in first grade, and my teacher is Miss Bienvenue.
So I'd love to hear also what you think about using Minecraft in the classroom.
Okay. I like Minecraft. I use different kind of blocks to build stuff.
So what kind of stuff have you built?
I built different houses and castles. And I also built the school.
So what does your school look like? Can you tell me about it?
Mm-hmm. My school looks like it has like a parking lot. And like it has like a blue second floor. And the principal's office is in the second floor. And the music classroom.
What else?
It's on the second floor.
Mm-hmm. And the first floor has the math room and the science room. And right, then...
I was going to say, those are some of the regular things that we'd find in school. Was there anything neat that you added? I talked to somebody and they asked for mm-hmm.
I added a soccer field. And I also added a flag. And I did the boat park.
A boat park.
I also made a pond and a school lake.
School lake and a pond. That's awesome. Now, with your school, do you hope that there would be classes out on the lake?
Mm-hmm.
Would you want your teachers to teach you all about fishing? That's one of the things I like to do on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your reaction when your teacher said that you were going to use Minecraft in the classroom?
Happy. Excited, yeah.
Excited.
Awesome. Now, do you play Minecraft outside of school?
Yeah?
Are there any differences between Minecraft outside of school and Minecraft in school?
It's similar.
Yeah, how is it similar?
It's similar because it has different animals and like there's more villages than the Minecraft that I have.
Which one, the school?
Mm-hmm, the school one.
So the school one has more villages?
No, the other one has more.
Oh, okay. I am not a Minecraft expert, so I only know very few things about Minecraft. One of the things I do know is that Minecraft has zombies in it. Were there zombies in your school?
No, I was in creative mode.
Ah, you were in creative. So there's two different modes?
Uh-huh. There's survival mode and creative mode.
And so for school, you were using creative mode. So I'm guessing that you, because you play Minecraft on your PlayStation, mm-hmm. you probably encountered some of those zombies.
Uh-huh. I didn't really know how to get to different modes in this thing. After I was done with my school, I was looking for a different village, and I found the snowy vial.
Whoa, that sounds awesome. What can you tell a teacher to encourage them to use it?
I can tell them that I know about Minecraft and like one day we can try it.
And what can you do?
Practice.
You told me that Miss Bienvenue let you use it to do what?
Math.
Well, how do you use it for math?
Math? So I use different blocks with different amounts of blocks. So, like, I use 7 blocks and then 2 more blocks, and that made 9 blocks.
Oh, so it sounds like if you were in the not using Minecraft with what you're doing, you'd have the blocks in front of you that you could build with. But here, because of Minecraft, you're able to build it on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a question for Mom. Is she still there?
Yes.
Yeah.
So how did you react when you heard the first time you heard that they were going to use Minecraft in the classroom?
honestly, it was pretty neat. I didn't know what they were going to do. I mean, I knew of Minecraft because he has the game at home. But then once I saw what they were doing, which was the math that was implemented first, kind of like using it, like building blocks and just adding. But when the challenge came up, he was excited and he told me about it. And then he started making up the school on his own, which was neat because then he said, oh, I want to be a builder when I grow up. So to me, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. He can do it at home and he can use it for school too. And he used it put his imagination to work. So more props to him.
Mom, are there ways that you've seen him grow academically through this? Like, I know it's one thing to be like practicing the math because no matter whether it was in person or not, he'd still be using the blocks. Have you seen him grow in the way that he's interacting in school and learning? And
so I think as a matter of fact, even today, I noticed that Minecraft could be a kind of a way for him to connect with kids from school during this situation, like during COVID situation. And one of the things that this morning he asked was like, is there a way that I can let my friends know? Because I guess if one of his friends is in a world, the friend sends him a code and the kids can join their world. So that's a way of them playing outside of school. So the fact that that's there, and also for him, he's pretty good when it comes to ventures and these online games. I didn't even know he had that capacity until now. And he's pretty good. And the fact that Miss Zeitz will ask them questions, and then he's like, when it came to the school, he didn't know how to place people. I think there were other worlds for other kids, like older than him. They had like the office clerk and stuff like that. And he was wondering how was he able to put people. And then she told him, oh, it's just an egg. And then she used the word and he's like, oh, I know how to do that. And in my mind, I'm here trying to figure out, I don't even know what they're talking about because I've never really played Minecraft. But the fact that he knows what she's talking about and he was able to just do it on his own. It's awesome. So yes, I have seen him grow that aspect.
That's awesome.
Yes, I'm Ava, and I'm in fourth grade.
So in fourth grade, I heard that you guys are doing some great things in the classroom using Minecraft. Can you tell me about it?
Yes, it's a little different from regular Minecraft. We get to code in Education Edition, and everything is sort of normal. We get to code, and we can build our own schools and anything we would like.
Awesome. Can you tell me about like what you did for your school? Like, what was your school like?
I wanted to make my dream school come like to life in Minecraft. So I added a lot of floors. One floor had a pool area, and my school also had an elevator. And it had like basically every classroom, like math, reading, science, technology room, and a PE, and a roller coaster to go up.
A roller coaster to go up.
Yes, because it was in the sky.
I was going to say, wow, you made sure a lot of your subjects were in there. But what about the fun stuff? But now that I know there's a roller coaster in there, I mean, who wouldn't want to go to your school? No, I also do have to say, I remember the high school that I went to, we actually had a pool and we all got certified as lifeguards so we could get lifeguard jobs over the summer, which maybe your school could do that too. So you mentioned that it's not like regular Minecraft. Do you play Minecraft outside of classroom?
Yes, Education Edition. It's different because we get to code, and I don't think you get to do that in regular Minecraft. There's also, people need to get a code to join your world. I think normal Minecraft does that too, but.
So in your school, because I know some stuff about Minecraft, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you're more of an expert than I am. But I know that there's zombies in Minecraft. Are there zombies at your school?
No, there is not.
Well, that's good, because that would definitely make me a little scared to go to your school.
Yes.
Do you get to play Minecraft every day with class, or is it just like a fun Friday type thing? Or was this a project outside of your regular classwork that you worked on with the school?
Yes, so it was a competition of who had, who could make like a school in Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my friend did it together.
Oh, so you were able to collaborate with one of your friends. Now, is your friend also in fourth grade, or are they in a different grade?
Yes, they are also in fourth grade.
Awesome. So, Mom, I can see that you're here too. What has the experience been like for you?
Well, it's been a great one. Ava's always excelled in technology since she was small. I think in first grade, they asked if she could be in the tech squad. So technology is just her forte. And I've watched her grow and evolve. And it's what she does for fun. And she's very engaged in it. And she loves Minecraft and Roblox. I think like a lot of kids do.
Yeah. So as a parent, when you heard that the school was doing a Minecraft challenge, knowing that your child plays Minecraft outside of school too, what kind of thoughts went through your head with this whole idea?
Well, I thought it was a great idea for her. She's very creative, and I know she'd enjoy doing it. She enjoys things where she can use her creativity and her imagination, and she definitely stepped up and created a school that she was happy. She said it was her dream school. And so it had the roller coasters and all the extra fun stuff, the pool, which she loves swimming. And so she incorporated a lot of things that she likes into her dream school. And it was great that she met the challenge. She actually had to redo it about four times because the site kept crashing. And she went back in and would rebuild everything that she lost. So she really put a lot of effort into it.
So did it become a lot faster each time you had to rebuild it, or because you knew exactly what you wanted to do, were you able to go in really quickly?
Yeah, it took us like very long, almost like a month to actually finish the whole school all together. And we kept having to revise and add more things to it.
Awesome. And did any of your classmates get to see your school too, or... was it just the teachers who got to see what you were doing?
The whole class and the whole school can see my video because it's on a website where they just have to type it in into the search bar.
Awesome. So my last most important question is, how can you convince another teacher to use Minecraft in the classroom?
I like how you can create whatever you would like and just like be free. You can also make a lot of different cool stuff like balloons, and it's very fun to create.
Is there anything else that I should know or our listeners should know about using Minecraft, whether it is with the school project or that is just something that you want to share?
No, my best advice is just like be creative and have fun.
Be creative and have fun. Truer words cannot have been spoken.
Janelle, and I'm in fifth grade.
So Janelle in fifth grade over at Liberty, one of the things that you guys are doing that not many schools are doing is using Minecraft in your classroom. So before we get to that, my first question is, did you use Minecraft prior to you doing it in the classroom?
I use Minecraft pretty much, and I use it for like coding because we do like coding club, and sometimes like we use it for like a project. Like right now we're working on a project, like one for Puerto Rico, where we have to build like a town for one in Puerto Rico. So yeah, we're working on.
So in the project with Puerto Rico, are you just building a small part of it and other classmates are building other parts of the island, or are you kind of rebuilding the whole island?
Well, we're working together to kind of like rebuild the whole island. So we're like doing like a hospital and barns and all that stuff, doing houses too, and like food and like grocery stores and all that.
Before this project, do you play Minecraft at home just outside of school?
Yes, I like playing any type of Minecraft, really.
Because I am not as familiar with Minecraft education, which is what you use to do your Puerto Rico project, what are the differences between playing the education one, the one that you're doing the projects with, and then the one that you use at home on your own?
Well, education, it has much more stuff than regular Minecraft. It has, like, science tables, lab tables, and it has coding, which is a big difference. Because in regular Minecraft, you don't have, like, coding. But in education, you have, like, a robot where you can code it to do stuff for you.
Would the coding in the non-school version, would that make it a lot easier to play?
Well, I kind of like coding in the education version because it can help you, like, do stuff. Like, it can help you, like, build a house. You can make it, like, rain chickens.
Rain chickens. That would be awesome and scary all at the same time. Just see the claws coming down from the sky. So, I know one of the things I do know with Minecraft is that there are zombies in it. Are there zombies in the education one?
Yes, there is all the bad guys, I would say, or I would call them. There's zombies, creepers, and all the other ones.
And those ones are in the school one too, or?
Yes, they're in school one and the regular one.
So you have to contend with those when you're trying to rebuild hospitals and houses and grocery stores and all of that?
Well, there's a classroom setting where you go through the settings and you can make, like, the mobs not appear. I believe that's different, and that's only in education as well.
I see. So with Minecraft, other than this project that you're doing with rebuilding Puerto Rico, are there any other ways that you're using it in your class? Do you have other teachers who are using it too, or?
Well, we do have like a coding club. We're like doing our own little Six Flags, and I use one of the new things for the education. I use a little NPC.
And so for our listeners who don't know what that is, can you explain it for us?
An NPC is a non-player character which you can use to, like, so you code the NPC to, like, you can make it say something, like, you can make it say, hi, welcome to, like, wherever, and he can say, what would you like to order? And you can go to advanced settings on the NPC, you can click on it, you can make it, like, give you chicken or pork chop or whatever, and that can help you. Like, if you're in survival and your health bar is running low, you need food. Well, you can just do that. That helps a lot.
Awesome. So one of my big questions that I've had is that Liberty, the school you're at, uses a lot of technology and uses it really well. For those people who see and hear, oh, Minecraft in the classroom, and it makes them nervous, what should those teachers know about Minecraft in the classroom? Like, what can we tell them to make them use it?
Well, we can say that it can help, like, students learn more about, like, sometimes it can teach you about, like, what we're learning in class. Like, in Minecraft education, they have places where you can visit and download the world, and it teaches, like, about, like, history, science, anything, really.
So it's a great resource to continue learning about the standards that you have to do in class.
Yeah.
Now, I always find this interesting because as someone who has played Minecraft before, you were probably pretty familiar with how everything works. What was it like watching your teacher trying to figure it out at the same time?
Well, my teacher, she would be like, how do you do this? And I would kindly help, saying you have to like do this or press this sort of button. And it made me happy because I like teaching others about like Minecraft and other stuff.
So it was a lot of fun to be teaching your teacher how to do something.
Yeah, instead of her teaching us how to do it, it's the other way around.
That's awesome.
All right, guys, you have to be impressed by this project. Whether it was building Liberty School with all sorts of fun things, or even rebuilding Puerto Rico as a way to connect into the world around them with things that they care about, and just being able to make those connections. It is pretty awesome to see. Like I said, I got to see the projects. I don't know. I will talk with Melissa at some point and see if we can share out everything that has been done so that all you listeners will have a link to it too. I'll make sure that if it's not in these show notes, once it is available, I will definitely make sure at the top of a podcast episode that you have the ability to go and check out these projects. With this being episode is as long as it is, I don't want to dwell too much more time. So thank you again for spending some time with us. If you liked this episode or loved it, make sure you go out to wherever you listen to the SBS Digital Learning Hour and give us a 5-star review. We love to hear feedback from you guys. You can leave it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you happen to be listening to the podcast. Give us a rating. Make sure you share it with everybody. It's very much appreciated. That's how we help get the word out about amazing things happening in the classroom, just like this opportunity with using Minecraft in the classroom. I am Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy, and this is the SBS Digital Learning Hour. The Digital Learning Hour is written, directed, produced, key gripped, and all the other roles are all done by me, Mike Thomas. And so we thank you for listening. If you liked the music for this episode on the intro and the outros and the in-betweens, check out Risen over on SoundCloud.